Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Pastor Tony and I have a very, talk about battle, the inner battle. No, we have a very good relationship. I just want to honor Pastor Tony for you know, the privilege of speaking. And, you know, I never take that lightly. It's an honor and privilege just to speak the word of God and just to be with you and to love on others and just even to be in this place. So I thank you, Pastor Tony. And we're talking about relationships. And Pastor Tony and I have a great relationship. It's healthy. We're pretty much like we're in the thick of things, right? And it's important, like even within that, to have high emotional intelligence because we're going after a lot of things. And, you know, as well as all the staff getting attacked by things in the spirit. And it becomes very important to have healthy relationships even within the office. And you might think it's church, so yeah, they must have it must just be a heyday for them. They're just, you know, so great and all just loving all the time. No, we actually, you know, we have things, we have conflicts, we run into each other with different things. But, you know, we come to the table and I can honestly say at the end of the day, we can leave it there. We come and we put everything on that table. And when we leave at the end of the day, we leave healthy still because of what's in our soul and what God has done. So winning at relationships becomes something very, very important. And I believe that God wants us to be influencers in the community around us, whether it's our businesses, whether it's our workplaces, whether it's our church, just to be influencers in the community around us. And Tony Miller said this, which, you know, it was very, very powerful. I just want to say it because it ties into being an influencer. When the church refuses to be who we called it to be, and when Christians are removed from strategic places of engagement, the rot and the decay of our culture begins to take over the elementary things of this earth. And just to talk about that strategic places of engagement, when we don't win at relationships, when we don't have healthy relationships, what starts to happen is we start to be robbed of places of influence that God has for us in the places of society, in the seven mountains that God has actually given us as the church, the authority and power to be over and to influence what goes on in culture. So when we isolate ourselves, when we have unhealthy relationships, what happens is we're not able to have relationships with other people in different dimensions, right? It's easy enough to say I come to church and I want to hug everybody and everybody sees who I am here on the outside, but it's a different thing to go out there and to hide behind a facade of what we think good and healthy is, but it spills off into everything that we do. And the more that we're able to engage people in a healthy way, the more we're able to influence. So that becomes very important that we're talking about winning at relationships and healthy and unhealthy relationships. And I want to talk about the soul just for a minute. The soul gets a really weird rap, I would think. And as I go into that, I'm just going to have the scriptures about three scriptures that are just going to seal the things that we're going to talk about today. Because I believe God's going to just flow. I believe that there's a great healing and restoration that he wants to bring to the body of Christ to make us influencers in this world, to remove the isolation and the brokenness that is on the inside of us. So I'll just get the AV team just to put up those three scriptures for me. The first one is 3 John 1, verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. How many of us know that our health is directly related to our soul, right? So just keep that in mind as we go to the next scripture. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart or soul with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. And some translations say flows the springs of life. And our next scripture, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the thoughts and intents of the heart become very, very important when we start to deal with relationships, because we're going to talk about the soul, as I said, and the soul deals with the mind, the will, and the intellect. And I want you to picture, if you will, for a minute, because we talk about the soul a lot, but we don't even know exactly what it means. So picture, if you will, a book, and the pages are open, right? So they're, just imagine there, the pages are all open here and you can see these pages. What happens? That's what, imagine that's what your soul looks like. When things are said to us, when we see things, when we speak to people, when we look at things, when we engage in things, when we listen to things, be it music or, you know, we listen to media, we look at TV, what happens is a deposit goes into those pages. So as you imagine the layers, and they're separate. So if you watch something that's let's say sexual, if you watch something that's sexual and that goes into one of the pages, then you listen to something that has to do with that, that goes into another page. It doesn't go into the same page, it goes into separate ones. So imagine the book-like layers, and these things are being deposited in your soul. Even if things were done to you at a young age, trauma and angry things that are said to you, words, those things get deposited into your soul, and so they're making up the pages of your, let's say, your book soul, if you will. Right? Now, it's important to understand that why. Because the soul is mind, will, and emotions. And what happens is everything that's on the inside of us and what we enters into us, it's going to be reflected. Right? So our emotions are going to start to display the things that are in our soul. Right? So that's why when we have, for example, There's an angry person, a mother or father that has spoken into our life, over our life, and we say, okay, and they say, you're not good enough. And we say, well, that doesn't seem to be correct. And they keep saying that enough, all of a sudden, those deposits come into our soul, and we start to believe that we're not good enough, or they were controlling to us. We start to believe that, you know what, I can only come under this influence. What that starts to happen now is because it's in our soul, when we encounter other people and other relationships, that starts to spill over there. So now we, when somebody asks us to do something, we say, well, I'm not good enough, I can't do that. Or if we come into other relationships and we have that on the inside of us, now we're angry. Now we always feel that somebody's trying to control or manipulate us, so we can't work with others anymore. Oh, I'm just better working on my own. I can't work with a team. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes people are just people that work better on their own, and they're people that work better on teams. But God has created us for relationship. Jesus was relational. He would go away to the mountain to pray, but he would always come back and be with people. He would always be among people, always be speaking with people. So if you can say as a leader that you are, and we're meant to be leaders and influencers, that I only have one group and that's all that I can be in and a part of because these people relate to me, then you've missed the point of why Jesus came to set you free. Right? We need healthy relationships in the body of Christ. I'm just going to deal with this as we're dealing with the soul for a minute about shame and guilt. So shame, and you get enough layers of this deposited into your soul where you feel you're not good enough. Shame says, I am a bad person, right? Whereas guilt says, my behavior is bad. So what starts to happen with shame and guilt is, shame is a focus on self, whereas guilt is a focus on behavior, right? As we just said. So shame starts to, what can you trace back to shame? It's addictions, bullying, depression, violence, eating disorders, right? And there's numerous, it could go on and on. And so shame for a man and a woman are different. Now God created us differently. He created men a certain way, he created women a certain way. There's a reason. That's why you have a lot of mix up in society today with men trying to be women and women trying to be men, and at the end of the day they can't figure out their feelings because we were created to function in a certain way. So now not only are you messed up in the things that have been deposited in your soul, you're messed up in the way that you and God were supposed to relate to these things and how you were supposed to function in society, right? So that's, you know, relationships is such a big, wide topic. Right? And so in terms of guilt and shame, so women, actually, they shame for them is a web of unattainable, conflicting, competing expectations about who we're supposed to be. So there's women are complicated, right? So you're always going to have that network of feelings, emotions, expectations, all of that. And you have all this going on here, and then you have the man. And how they see shame and how they produce that is a sign of weakness. It's one for a man. It's not all this web of complex things. It's one. It's I am weak, and I don't want to be considered weak. So you take that into consideration. You take how women are. You join them together. You try to do relationships together, and you just have a complete mess that's going on in society right now. And God never created us to be like that. God created us to be perfect. Ecclesiastes says he created us perfect, and then he gave us decisions to make. And unfortunately, with all the things and the ideas that have come down in society, it's been corrupted as to what that looks like. And we're talking about healthy and unhealthy. I'm going to talk about that now, the unhealthy part of what a relationship looks like when you get into something unhealthy. So I'll share my story a little bit, just part of my story. When I first came to Canada, you know, Pastor said I have a law degree, and, you know, I thought I was pretty smart. And then I had somebody speak into my life and tell me that I was stupid. So when they said that, I was like, this cannot be. I know who I am, you know. I'm pretty smart. They started speaking that to me pretty often. And all of a sudden, I said, well, I remember it's circumstances as well as the words that have been spoken to me. So I'm in a different environment, never been here before. Somebody's telling me I'm stupid. And I started to believe, maybe I am. Maybe I can't really function as I should here. Maybe this is not the right place for me. And so I just started to dwell on those things. And then, you know, I had my daughter, and all of a sudden these words were coming at me, and then I couldn't produce enough milk, and I was, oh man, then I'm a bad mother because, you know, I can't produce enough milk for my daughter on my own. I got to supplement because, you know, they tell you all kinds of things. If you can't, you're, you know, that's not good, and you think you're damaging your baby. So not only am I dumb and stupid, now I can't even be a mother. I can't even be a woman like that I'm supposed to be. Again, coming, depositing into my soul all these things until I felt I got so depressed. I had low self-esteem. My self-esteem was in the toilet. I just would just, you know, and to other people, I played the game, you know, because we all know how to play the game, but there were so many deep things going on in my soul where even to the point where I thought about suicide because I just didn't even know if it was worth it for me to be here anymore. All the decisions I had made, I felt they've been so wrong. I just took the wrong turn. There's no hope for me. There's no turning back for me. And eventually, you know, God healed that. I met up with a group of people who started to speak positive things into my life. And I started to read the Word of God and find out what He had to say about me. And slowly those thoughts began to change. And I began to remember who I was. And then when I started to remember who I was, I looked back on that unhealthy part of me. And I said to myself, how could I ever think that? What created those thoughts in my mind? How did that happen? And I want you to know something. And I want them to put just the scripture on the board, up on the board for a minute. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. And verse 5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of God. I want us to know that it's not just, he talks about thoughts and ideas. The devil doesn't so much attack a thought. No, we think, oh, it's a thought. No, we can dismiss thoughts easily. What he sets up is a pattern of thoughts in the mind. So over time, you start to think one thing and you dismiss it. But if that is said over and over, all of a sudden, you start to believe it. And what has happened is it has set up a pattern of thinking in your mind, and you begin to act out that way. Your emotions begin to act out that way. So if in my case, I started to withdraw from people, and I would smile, but I couldn't stay long in environments where people were. I had to retreat quickly because I couldn't let people see that shame. That didn't say that I was, you know, there was bad things that I was doing or that I couldn't do, but that I was a bad person. So patterns in my mind were built up. And because of that type of cycle, and I'll tell you about rejection and bitterness and the root of bitterness, that not just, it doesn't just make us reject people, it makes people reject us. Because we are spirit. We are spirit, soul, and body. We are spirits who possess a soul and live in a body. But what happens is that the spiritual realm is at work all around us. What we enter into enters into us. And all of a sudden, the reaction to things that happen on the outside is what's coming out from those deposits that are on the inside of us. And we think we can hide that, but we can only hide that for so long. It's going to start to spill over into relationships. So suddenly, people did things to you and you're angry and you think you can hide that. And it can be all very nice and sweet to you. And all of a sudden, this anger comes out in a situation. And be like, where did that come from? Well, it was always in your soul. And the more that you feed it and the more that you think about it, it's always going to come up. When that person's name comes up and you still have that reaction to it, oh, it's in your soul. And it's not been gotten rid of. That bitterness just comes right back out again. Now, you can remember things that people have spoken to you. And then, you know what? It's under the blood of God, and I don't think about that anymore. It doesn't hurt me. But if it keeps bringing up those feelings of anger and hurt, then God still hasn't come in and dealt with it. And I believe there's just a flow of anointing and deliverance that God wants to bring in today, because I believe he wants to take us into the greater and the deeper. And God said to me, you're not going to go to the deeper unless you're not going to get to the greater unless you go deeper. And I said, God, well, what does that mean? What does that mean? We all want the greater, but what does that mean about the deeper? And God said, right now, he wants us to set up places in society of influence. He wants us to engage the public, but right now, at the place that we're at in our relationships, in our soul, we can only pour from shallow waters. We haven't gone deep enough. We haven't been healed enough to be able to pour into other people. Because to pour into other people, to be an influencer, to show people how to be in relationships, how to succeed in life, we have to succeed in ours, but it has to come from a deep overflow of what God has done in our lives. So then relationships become important. Being healthy becomes important if we're going to affect people around us. So I believe God wants to send a flood of just restoration and healing in the body of Christ. It's going to come because God is going to send it, and we have to be ready and position ourselves in that place to receive that that's going to come. And what that's going to do is going to usher us into the deeper things of God as the healing and restoration comes, which is going to bring forth the greater, which is the miracle. Miracles, signs, and wonders that we know that God has for the church is the things that we're supposed to be operating in. But let me tell you something. The church is not a pastor and a song leader and the pastor's wife. The church is us. The church is us. The Great Commission does not come to one or two people. The Great Commission has come to anybody who is saved. Anybody. We must. Woe unto us if we don't preach the gospel, if we don't heal the sick, if we don't raise the dead. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. Some people, you know, they want to know, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to be a doctor? Am I supposed to be a lawyer? Am I supposed to be a singer? Well, choose one. But here's what you got to do at the end of the day that God said. Heal the sick, raise the dead, pray for the sick, see people healed, delivered, and set free. Set the captives free. That was what God has called us to do. Pastor, should I be married? Should I not be married? Well, you know what? It doesn't really matter. Pick one. But if you do that, whether you're married or not, heal the sick, raise the dead. You know, speak to the brokenhearted. Get the brokenhearted healed. That's the thing that we have to do. And the devil has us in isolation. He has us in this place just... we're mangled and we're struggling. And I had this vision of this young man, and he was just preaching. And this is a vision now, or maybe it was a dream, but I believe it was a vision because I woke up out of this, and this is what I saw. And this young man, he was preaching the gospel, and words were spoken to him about just him not being good enough. And all of a sudden, I saw this man go from a healthy-looking person like Pastor Mo. He didn't have as much weight as Pastor Mo, but, you know, he was healthy. I had to. It's in my soul. I gotta get it out. I didn't too. So all of a sudden, this is healthy person, and all of a sudden, I saw the person start to be, I love you, Pastor Mo. I saw this person start to be mangled and just his bones started to cave into himself, and he just started to become unable to walk and unable to function. And that is just a description of how words and things spoken can take a healthy person and can make them useless. And that's what the devil has tried to do with a lot of us. He's tried to make us incapacitated. So although we know Christ, we can be of no earthly good to him because we're so caught up in poverty and in lack, the things that are spoken to us, the things that our parents, we think they pass down generational things, and we can't get past the fact that God has given us his word and has brought healing to us. And we want to talk about metamorphosis for a minute, because what is it that causes these things to come back into health? What is it that breathes life into the dark place? It can only be one person, and his name is Jesus. You know, and I'll just tell you a little bit about science, because science has finally caught up in some places, not even caught up, they're kind of getting there with the Bible. You know, so they just found out, well, a while ago, that about neuroplasticity, which is the fact that the brain can actually change, its mind change itself. So you can take a negative thought and you can dwell on a positive thought against that negative thought for about 21 days and you can change your way of thinking. Well, listen to what the Bible says in Romans 12, verse 2. No, we put that on there. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me tell you something right now. We were never meant to function in dysfunction. We were always meant to be perfect. We were always meant to be guided by the will of God. Our emotions, our soul, our will, everything was meant to come under the influence of a God who is perfect, of a God who knows all, of a God who's healer, of a God who is deliverer. That's where we come from, and that's where we're supposed to function. Now, in metamorphosis, when that takes place, what happens is, and we know it best with a caterpillar does not grow wings and become a butterfly. If you see the process, a caterpillar has to turn basically to mush. It has to grow new eyes, new antenna, new everything. It actually becomes a different person. So when we think about unhealthy thinking, what that has to be, we have to take those thoughts captive, according to 2 Corinthians. We have to take those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ, and we have to put on what he says on that. Basically, you have to take those thoughts and you have to bring them to mush. Right? God has to heal. He has to bring that stuff to nothing. Because let me tell you something. You are not a fool. You are not stupid. You are not somebody that cannot come out of what you are in right now. Because God has made the way for that. Then that makes what we believe nothing. Jesus means nothing. The cross means nothing. And the Holy Spirit means nothing. Holy Spirit is comforter. Why is he comforter? That must mean that we were in need of some comforting. But he never planned, and God never planned to leave us in that place. He planned to take us to a higher place, a greater place. Because let me tell you, when God comes to usher in, and he's going to come, when that's going to come and usher in the return of God, we're going to be a clean, spotless bride that are loving each other the way God has made us to love each other. The church has not risen up yet because we're too much in shallow waters. We're not loving each other in the way that we're supposed to love each other. He said you'll know the church by the way that they love each other. But we're not loving each other there yet because we still have these things that are between us, right? If I want to be friends with somebody like Pastor Amber, let's see, and we are friends. If I want to be friends and then I have things on the inside of me and I look at Pastor Amber, I say, oh, I could never measure up to Pastor Amber. I could never sing like Pastor Amber. I could never dress like Pastor Amber. If I cut my hair that short, it's never going to look that good. You know, what suddenly happens is that Pastor Amber and I, God has placed us together for a reason. Let's see. There's more going on here in the spiritual realm than we can see in the physical. And what the devil tries to do is isolate us because he knows us together is going to be so much greater than us apart. So he's going to keep Pastor Amber isolated. He's going to keep me isolated. He's going to keep offense and jealousy and all this stuff coming up because he knows if we just got together and we just knew the plan of God on our lives, then the whole world, we could put tens of thousands to fight. So the devil wants to keep you as one person isolated, and that's the body of Christ. We are not one person. Look how many people are in this room. Hundreds of people in this room. If we got together and we got cleaned up and we got restored, imagine what God could do. God wants to restore the soul. God wants to take us into the deeper and into the greater things. And as we close, I'm just going to share this story. When I was pregnant, right, the different things were starting to happen on the inside of me. And this, I'm sharing this because I believe that we're just pregnant with the things that are to come. This message that Pastor is teaching about relationships is about now because we need to be healthy in relationships to go to the next season. We can't take the unhealthy relationships into that. It just will not survive. We will not survive in that scenario. We will not survive in the greater with unhealthy because we're going to be exposed. All kinds of things are going to happen. We're going to have just a crazy, you know, falling out if that happens. So God's going to heal us up now. So when I was pregnant and I came to this lovely country of Canada, which I love, but back then I came and I couldn't understand why people would take a fruit and bake it into a pie. Like, this was the craziest idea to me, because in Trinidad, where I come from, you eat fruit right off the tree, right? You know, you have like something, we didn't have apples, but you have a mango, you eat it into a tree. So why would I take a perfectly great mango that I could pick off my tree and put it into a pie and bake it, right? That's what I used to think, right? So I would look at these people eating pumpkin pie and apple pie and cherry pie and be like, you people, you know, you just have no clue what real fruit tastes like. Well, I kept that to myself because obviously there were some things going on in my soul that I needed to deal with, right? And then one day when I was pregnant, this was before I was pregnant, when I was pregnant, I couldn't get a lot of things that I wanted to eat. All of a sudden, wouldn't you know it, I get a craving for apple pie. Apple pie and French vanilla ice cream. So, you know, and so, you know, I told my husband, I was like, we're gonna go out, we gotta get this apple pie. He's like, oh, I'll get it for you. I was like, no, you're not getting it for me. I'm going to pick it myself. If this is gonna be first time I'm gonna eat this. And I had tried it, you know, I just didn't like it. Well, I picked that thing, I ate it, I just loved it. And from that day forward, I like apple pie, not as much as Pastor Mo, but I really, really like it. He knows he likes it. So what am I seeing with that? What am I seeing with that? And to this day, I like it. When you start to, when God starts to shake some things up on the inside of us, and we start to get pregnant with the things of God, and the next, and this next season that we're in, all of a sudden our cravings start to change. Right? We start to desire some other things, and you don't know exactly how you're going to get. Like, I didn't know, okay, this pregnancy is going okay. I didn't know what that was going to look like. That was my first baby. I didn't even know when I had her what that was going to look like. But, you know, and we talk about the cravings of God. When we're in the Spirit and when we start to desire the things of God, He starts to put these things on the inside of us. So there's a desire to be healed. There's a desire to be restored. There's a desire to be whole. There's a desire to function in the things and the purpose and the destiny that we were called to function in. And it only comes from one place, and it comes from an encounter with God, the one who made you, the one who speaks your purpose and destiny over you, the one who tells you who you are. And we're going to get the worship team to come up now. And I just feel like God just wants to set people free in this place. I believe God wants to break those things off of us that have been holding us down. Even those things in your soul, God wants to break those ties. So those things that for so long that have held you back from the things that God has called you to in this season. There's growth in this season. There's big things in this season. God is calling us to step up and to step into those things in this season. And, you know, as we say that God's going to be an influencer, and I'm going to invite Pastor Tony to come just in a bit. We're meant to be influencers in the body of Christ. And God has called us to be clean. But He doesn't say you have to make yourself clean. Let me tell you something. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Condemnation doesn't lead us to repentance. It's the goodness of God. And we just want to invite you to come if you feel that, you know, look, I'm an influencer. I'm called to be an influencer today. And I know there's some things even in my soul that need to be restored, need to be checked again. I need God to just bring that flood of restoration and that flow just to wipe things clean. We're going to invite you to come. Come to the altars. We're going to pray for you. Maybe we will lay hands on you and pray as need be. But we just invite you to come as God begins to speak. And I believe God just wants His river to come and to set people free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just feel God. I just feel God on this. Jesus.
Your rivers flow like a river, flow like a river, flow like a river. of life. Set your people free.
Jesus.
Flow like a river with streams of life. Flow like a river, flow free. Flow like a river with streams of life. Setting your people free.
Thank you, Jesus. Do it, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we speak right now your life, Lord God, and your freedom, Lord God. We speak right now, Lord God, your purpose and your destiny, Lord God. We speak of flow, Lord God. We just speak of flow, Lord God. Rivers of living water. Just rivers of living water begin to flow, Lord God, for restoration, God, and for healing, Lord God. Your power, Lord God. Your power to heal, Lord God, by your Spirit. That Jesus would be lifted up, Lord God, even in the midst, Lord God, by your blood. By your blood, Lord God, that was shed. Oh, that was shed to heal, Lord God, to heal the broken, Lord God. Oh, right now we speak, Lord God, your complete healing, deliverance, restoration in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, church, this morning I was thinking about people that are in the Bible. And I'm so thankful for this word. I'm so thankful for how God is working and dealing amongst us. But you know, we ought to take great courage because there's messed up people in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Moses needed a burning bush. Abraham needed to be called from a paganistic society. Even Saul needed to be knocked off his high horse. All these people, by the way, had some understanding of God. Paul was a very religious man. But until they had that encounter, until they had, in Moses' case, a burning bush, until Saul was knocked off that horse and was made blind, and all of a sudden, when we come into an encounter with Christ, you know, it almost sounds like it's cliche, but here's the reality. The reality is church doesn't change us. God changes us. The power of the Holy Spirit changes us. We come to church and we gather as a family so that the Spirit of God can move corporately. But in reality, the power really belongs that where two or three are gathered, the presence of the Lord comes. Now, my friends, I was thinking about why this marijuana. I was praying and I'm talking to God and I'm contemplating. And I'm like, Lord, why is this marijuana so popular? Why is it exploding? Why are so many people wanting to take part in this? And you know, here's what I believe is the truth, is that people are in pain. I'm not even talking physical pain. I'm talking about emotional pain, pain of the heart. Pain of the heart, pain of the mind. You know, as Candace was talking about how God has made us differently. Do you know that people that struggle with gender identity, see, these are the things they don't want to tell you. People that struggle with gender identity have a 400 time increase of suicide among them. 400 times the risk of suicide when you struggle with gender identity issues. But they don't want to tell you that. And rather than help those people, they want to make sure that the law protects them so that nobody can touch them, nobody can help them, so that they can eventually take their own lives. Well, that's not the way Jesus works. Jesus works to heal us and to restore us. And let's be honest, my friends, so many times we can come to church and people say, how are you doing? Oh, I'm good. I'm fine. Everything's okay. And then we leave with the same pain. We leave with the same brokenness. We leave with the same agony. But today, Even as you've heard, you don't have to leave. We prayed for people in the first service. We're going to pray for you today. You don't have to leave with that pain. You don't have to leave with that broken heart. You don't have to leave with your emotions all messed up, or maybe even your identity. Listen, my friends, your solution is not in a joint. It's not in a prescription bottle. It's not in a wine bottle or a beer bottle. It's not in cigarettes. It's not in pornography. It's not in anything that is an addictive behavior that is meant to self-medicate the soul. Listen, Jesus wants to set you free today. So here's what I want us to do. I want us to stand in the presence of God. If you want to have a God moment today, you want to have a God moment, you need a burning bush experience. Maybe you need to get knocked off your high horse. I don't know. I don't know the experience that you need to have with God. But A, you can have an experience right where you are. But if you need to come to the front, there's no extra power in the front. What it is a point of engagement. It is a point where we say, God, I'm stepping out of what I know. I'm stepping out of my normalcy. I'm stepping out of my hidden life. I'm stepping out of the secrecy, and I need to have an encounter with you. Not even so much with people. I need to have you, Lord. I don't need religion. I need a God that can save me and set me free and get my mind right and get my heart right and get my soul right and get my spirit right. Because as Candace said, you know, we cannot go into the greater if we're all messed up. If we're hypocrites. Pastor Moses has been teaching us about the Greek word hypocrite in Paul's day. You know what it was? An actor. You ever watch a movie? Those are hypocrites. What are they doing? They're playing a role that they're not. That's what a hypocrite is. We play a role that we're not. And we're so good at playing the role of I'm okay and I'm fine and my life is great, when in reality on the inside we're dying. So why don't we just get honest and open and say, God, you know I'm a disaster. You know I'm a mess and I need help. Because I got news for you. You think everybody beside you is not messed up. They're just as messed up as you. They may be just better at showing it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, in a couple of weeks, Pastor Amber, this takes courage. Especially for women to stand up here and say, I was going to kill myself. I was so depressed. I didn't think I was a good enough woman. I couldn't feed my child. These are all the things the enemy attacks us with. You know, some really difficult things have happened to Pastor Amber in her teenage life, that she said, why did this happen? Why did this go on? Why did this occur? And in a couple of weeks, in a room probably with about, what, 800 women? 500 women. Pastor Amber is just going to open up her life. She's going to spill out her guts. She's going to be like that. She's going to be like that woman in Mark chapter 3. Telling her life. Why? Why? Because she has to be me too. Me too. Me too. No, no. She's not a me too. What she is an individual that was broken, that's been restored by God, that is saying, I'm not going to allow the brokenness to be wasted. And if I had to go through something, I want to help somebody else. I don't want to help somebody else get revenge or get back at somebody. I want to help somebody else get restored and maybe get some sense and get some order. But my friends, listen, there are things in life that you will never make sense of. And we can drive ourselves crazy believing I'm going to make sense of why this happened to me and why I went through this and why God allowed this to happen. But the reality is, in this life, we're not going to get sense of everything. That's where trust comes in. That's where faith comes in. And maybe someday when we're with Jesus, we'll know, why was that part of the path? Why was that part of my experience? But while we're here, this is how you know you're healed. This is how you know you're restored. When you can stand up, not out of vengeance, not out of bitterness, not out of ugliness, but to say, listen, I can forgive. Listen, some things you can't forget. The people that tell you forgive and forget, that's not even biblical. Jesus hasn't forgotten the thing. There's some things you cannot forget, but you can always forgive. So if you need to come, you need to come. We'll pray for everybody that comes, and we're just going to trust God for you today. that you'll be healed, that you'll be restored. The ministry team is here to reach out and pray with you. If you need to come just by yourself, if you need to kneel, lie down, I don't care what it is you need to do to get a hold of God. This is not about a performance, not about religion. I don't want this word to be wasted. I want God to touch you. And I have faith in my Father. I have faith in my Father, in His absolute ability to restore us spirit, soul, and body. Come on, team. I want you to come and begin to pray for people as the worship team ministers to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, Candace. Come on. Come on, Alma. Come on. Come on, team. Begin to lay hands. Begin to pray. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God today. Praise God today. For the goodness of God. For the healing power of the living God. Oh, for the restoration that God gives us. Hallelujah. 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 Heal us, God. Take away our shame. Take away our shame. Heal us, God.
No one else.
Heal us, God. That's right. Get serious with God right now. He's here for you. Father's here for you. In the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Feel the warmth of your find
yes. Yes, 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 yes.
Bring
yes.
me back to you.
Heal us, God. Get us in our right mind. Get us in our right mind. Get us in our right mind.
You're all I want.
We rebuke shame today. Oh,
you're all
I've ever needed. You're all I want. Jesus, we rebuke shame and humiliation.
You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you. Draw me close to you. Never let me go. You're all I want. save me, God. Help me know you are near.
Wherever I go, there you'll be, Lord.
Help me know you.
Can be